Hello, everybody. Isn't that a rousing hymn to begin our worship today? It is lovely to have you here at St. Stephen's. Welcome. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. As you can see, today is a communion day. If you would like to pause this recording to prepare the elements of either bread or crackers, and some wine or juice, go ahead and do that now. And as we do on communion days, let's hear the land acknowledgement. We are honoured to gather, serve and worship on the traditional and unceded territory of the Qualicum First Nation, the traditional keepers of this land. We seek to live with respect for these original peoples and to honour their values and the land they have called home for thousands of years. We also pay our respects for and acknowledge the lives lost and the courage of the survivors of residential schools, and commit to support, advocate for and contribute to the implementation of the calls to action of the Truth and Reconciliation Commission of Canada. Let's come together to say the call to worship, declaring our intentionality and coming before God this morning. Let us worship the eternal God, the source of love and life, who creates us. Let us worship Jesus Christ, the risen one who lives among us. Let us worship the Spirit, the holy fire who renews us. To the one true God be praise in all times and places, through the grace of Jesus Christ. And as we remember Jesus coming and dying in our place, we light the Christ candle to put him at the center of our worship. Let's worship in prayer. O God, you pour out the Spirit of grace and love. Deliver us from cold hearts and wandering thoughts, that with inquiring minds and searching souls, we may worship you in spirit and truth. Amen. Friends, let us bring our shortcomings, our iniquities, before the throne of grace. Please pray the prayer of confession responsively with me. Merciful God, for the things we have done that we regret, forgive us. For the things we have failed to do that we regret, forgive us. For all the times we have acted without love, forgive us. For all the times we have reacted without thought, forgive us. For all the times we have withdrawn care, forgive us. For all the times we have failed to forgive, forgive us. For hurtful words said and helpful words unsaid, for unfinished tasks and unfulfilled hopes, God of all time, forgive us and help us to lay down our burden of regret. In Jesus' name, amen.
Dear friends and our family of faith, we who feel scattered are held together. We who have lost our way are forgiven and found. And we who are lonely are brought into the fold and are told, there's room for you here. From generation to generation, this is the good news of the gospel. In Jesus Christ, we are held, forgiven, found, and welcome. Thanks be to God. Amen. Let us hear the words of our faith, the Apostles' Creed, on this particular Sunday. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, and suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven, and he is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, and the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
The Gospel of Mark, chapter 7, verses 24 to 30, the English Standard Version. And from there he arose and went away to the region of Tyre and Sidon. And he entered a house and did not want anyone to know, yet he could not be hidden. But immediately a woman, whose little daughter had an unclean spirit, heard of him and came and fell down at his feet. Now the woman was a Gentile, a Syrophoenician by birth. And she begged him to cast the demon out of her daughter. And he said to her, "Let the children be fed first, for it is not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs." But she answered him, "Yes, Lord, yet even the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs." And he said to her, "For this statement you may go your way. The demon has left your daughter." And she went home and found the child lying in the bed and the demon gone. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Good morning. One of our goals here at St. Stephen's is diversity in worship, which means that we get to hear God's word in various ways. And this morning is one of those days in which I hope we might be able to piece some pieces together and come out with a clear message of what God is calling us to. I want to begin by having us hear a meditation from Richard Wagamese's little book of meditation, The Embers. Richard Wagamese is a Ojibwe poet, writer, and he offers us these words. From our very first breath, we are in relationship. With that indrawn draft of air, we become joined to everything that was, is, and ever will be. When we exhale, we forge that relationship by virtue of the act of living. Our breath commingled with all breath, and we are a part of everything. That's the simple fact of things. We're born into a state of relationship, and our ceremonies, our rituals, are guides to lead us deeper into that relationship with all things. Big lesson, relationships never end, they just change. In believing that lies the freedom to carry compassion, empathy, love, kindness, and respect into and through whatever changes. We are made more by that practice. Relationships never end, they just change. American country folk singer, songwriter John Prine made a good living writing and singing songs about changing relationships, changing lives. He had a unique way of capturing the sense of the longing we feel when our perfect world feels out of balance. Sometimes he also offers a remedy for our sense of longing. And one of his songs takes control over my consciousness early on Monday morning when I begin to think about next Sunday's service. His song's filled with changing relationships, longing, and a call to return to a place of wholeness and connectedness. It's a place John Prine called home. The words to the chorus will be printed in your bulletin or appear upon our screen, and you're invited to join in the chorus as part of our work in building community and right-sizing our world. Summer's in, round the bend just flying, swimming suits are on the line just drying. I'll meet you there for our conversation. Hope I didn't ruin your whole vacation. Well, you never know how far from home you're feeling till you watch shadows cross the ceiling. Well, I don't know, but I can see it snowing. In your car, the windows are wide open. Come on home. Come on home. No, you don't have to be alone. Just come on home. Valentines break hearts and minds at random. Old Easter egg don't have a leg to stand on. Well, I can see that you can't win for trying. New Year's Eve is bound to leave you crying. And the moon and stars hang out in bars just talking. I still love that picture of us walking. Just like that old house we thought was haunted. Summer's end came faster than we wanted. Come on home. Come on home. You don't have to be alone. Just come on home. Where might your home be? A place where you're trajectories come together, a shared energy within which the whole universe is always in the process of coming together. What are you longing for? Come on home. Come on home. You don't have to be alone. Just come on home. In our scripture reading today, we find a Jesus who appears to be off his game a bit, in need of a remedy. He has left the disciples and finds himself in foreign territory and gets up in the face of a woman, a Gentile who has tracked him down and has quite the ask of Jesus. Cast the unclean spirit out of my daughter. The woman is desperate. She loves her daughter. She needs help. And she's not afraid to ask for it. She bows at Jesus' feet and begs, Lord, help me. Jesus doesn't help. Instead, he answers her with words that cut no matter how we try to soften them. Let the children be fed first, for It is not fair to take the children's food and feed it to the dogs. The woman and her daughter are not Jews, they are Gentiles. And Gentiles were often referred to as dogs by the Jewish community. Are there ways around the awkwardness of this moment? Maybe his ethnic slur is just a test, a deliberate provocation to prove the woman's devotion. Maybe Jesus is tired and wants a break from the relentless demands of ministry. Maybe he's fed up with people begging him for gifts, favors, or maybe he's simply describing the reality of his mission. The healing he offers is for the children of Israel first, and not the children of Gentiles. We can think of lots of excuses for Jesus' behavior, but none of the obvious ones do justice to the power of this story. What if the Jesus we encounter this morning is just being fully human, shaped as we are by the conscious and unconscious biases, prejudices, and entitlements of his culture? A holy son, yes, but still working out the scope and meaning of the divine vocation his creator God has called him into. For sure, he knows he's meant to share the good news. But our scripture lesson tells us he has not yet learned to ask if the good news is really and truly good news for everyone. He hasn't yet considered who it leaves out. Perhaps Jesus has yet to learn how radically good the good news really is. So the Syro-Phoenician woman becomes the teacher, turning his slur right back at him, the man who insulted her. And she replies, "Yes, Lord, yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table." Her response cuts to the very heart of Jesus' boundary-breaking, taboo-busting ministry of table fellowship. He eats with tax collectors and prostitutes. He breaks bread with sinners. His disciples are the ones who come to the table with unwashed hands, a table where Jesus shows the world where God truly is. And it's at that table where the outsider, the Gentile woman, the outcast, the other calls Jesus out, saying, "Lord, where's my good news? Where's my place at the table? When will your goodness be good enough for me and for my daughter?" Imagine that scene in your mind. The stunned silence in the wake of the woman's words. Imagine the implications of her words ricocheting through Jesus' mind and heart. If you are who you say you are, how can you be content when anyone goes hungry in the vicinity of your table? The good news is in here somewhere. I know it's in here. Now let it come to fruition. Believe there's enough good news to go around. Expand the circle, dissolve the boundaries, widen the table, she says. Preach your good news to me. Come on home. Come on home. You don't have to be alone. Just come on home. The imperfect but very real Jesus finally shows up and accepts the instruction of the woman who challenges him. He allows her, the ethnic, religious, and gendered other, to school him in his own gospel, to break the barrier of his prejudice and widen the circle of his compassion. This, the Jesus who never loses a verbal contest with anyone else in Scripture, sits back in amazement and concedes the argument to an audacious female foreigner. For saying all these things, woman, your daughter is healed. Jesus changes. He allows a perspective foreigner. He allows a perspective foreign to his own to move him from an attitude of narrow-mindedness to an attitude of inclusion. He allows himself to be humbled, rearranged, and remade. Barbara Brown Taylor describes the moment this way: you can almost hear the huge wheel of history turning as Jesus comes to a new understanding of who he is and what he has been called to do. The Syro-Phoenician woman's faith and persistence teach him that God's purpose for him is bigger than he had imagined, and there is enough of him to go around. What would it be like to follow in the footsteps of a Jesus who listens to the urgent challenge of the other, who humbles himself long enough to learn what only a vulnerable outsider can teach? What would it be like to insist on good news for people who don't look, speak, behave, or worship like we do? Everything depends on exactly how good the good news really is. If it's not good enough, if it's good just for me, or the people who look and think like me, or the people for already I happen to like and love. Is the good news for the starving, the addicted, the incarcerated, and the unemployed, the homeless? Is it good news for the people you've been conditioned to all of your life to ignore? If the answer is no, then we have work to do. Jesus has gone ahead of us, modeling a kind of listening and learning that should bring us to our knees. He has shown us that compassion can be cultivated. We can grow into greater and more inclusive love. He has left us with the bottom line: we ignore at our peril. If it's not good news for everyone, then it's not yet good enough. Our table is precisely where Jesus shows the world who God is. It's our home base. We'll meet you there in a few minutes. The good news is it's a big open table, and Jesus is there waiting, arms wide open, and there is enough of him to go around, enough of him to satisfy your deepest longings. Come on home, come on home, you don't have to be alone. Just come on home. Amen. Thanks be to God.
Good morning.
Let us pray.
Loving God, we are deeply thankful for your loving presence this morning from all who participate in making this service possible. We thank each of the folk, from Kelly to the worship team, to the slide projectors, greeters, and fellowship team that participate in our coffee after the service. None of us is perfect. We all have our flaws that often distract us from our peace, our sense of wonder, our frustration at the changes that sweep us along, either personally or worldwide. Help each of us to recognize you in the daily busyness of our lives and to reach out to receive nourishment from you in spots of peace, laughter of children, wisdom of a friend, hope in renewal through books, music, and the kindness of community. Come, Lord Jesus, open our hearts in a way that we can be embraced in your loving arms that can soothe us and encourage us to trust you in the path forward. Help us to recognize your leading in all that we do, to remember to offer praise to you as well as gratitude as we go about our daily lives. Help each of us to share your love to the community that surrounds us and to our family when we become annoyed with them. We pray that the larger community will also open their hearts to others in kindness and compassion, particularly our town council and regional district. May they look not only in the present, but what is best for our future in the community, in their decision making. And we ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen.
The Lord be with you and also with you. Lift up your hearts, we lift them up to God. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right to give our thanks and praise. Eternal God, maker of heaven and earth, we join with all your people to give you thanks and praise. You formed the universe in your wisdom and created all things by your grace. We praise you for all your good gifts, the witness of saints and prophets, the work of faithful women and men, this earth in all its blessing and promise, and this bread once scattered, now brought together and made one. In the hope that your people may be brought together from the ends of the earth into your reign of justice and compassion, we gather with those of every time and every place to give you praise and glory. Lord of all lords, creator of all things, nature gives thanks, your creatures give thanks. Your praise rises in us like the great river. God of all things, creator, provider, we thank you in the name of Jesus Christ. We do what Jesus did the night before he died. He took bread, gave thanks, broke the bread, and gave it to his friends and said, "Take, eat, remember me." Then he took the cup and said, "Take, drink, remember." Remembering your boundless love for us in Jesus Christ, we offer you our praise and we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ's death, O God, we proclaim. Christ's resurrection, we declare. Christ's coming to you, we wait. Glory be to you, O God. We praise you, eternal God, through Christ your word made flesh, and in the power of your life-giving spirit, now and forever. Amen. We join together in the prayer taught to us by Jesus. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The gifts of God for the people of God. Please consume your elements wherever you are at this point in time in this day.
Gentile or Jew, servant or free, woman or man, no more. One bride, one body, one Lord. And we
Eternal God, we thank you that you have called your people from east and west, north and south, to feast at the table of Jesus Christ. Keep us faithful to your will. Go with us to the streets, to our homes, to our places of labor and leisure, that wherever we are scattered or gathered, we may be the servant church of the servant Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.
For all the ways that you give to the mission and work of Jesus Christ here at St. Stephen's and in the world beyond, we thank you. And I ask you now to pray over all the gifts given this week, whether they're time, talent, or finances. Pray with me the offertory prayer. Merciful Father, we offer with joy and thanksgiving what you have first given us, ourselves, our time, and our possessions, signs of your gracious love. Receive them for the sake of him who offered himself for us, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. In case you haven't heard, I want to share this exciting news with you. A new minister is coming to St. Stephen's. The Pacific Mountain region of the United Church of Canada has approved the call that was voted on at the congregational meeting here, and we are delighted to announce publicly that Reverend Robin Jacobson will be serving as our new minister starting on June 1st. That's a long time, you say? Robin is currently serving at Trinity United in Vernon, and he wants to spend the next few months tying up loose ends and helping his congregation to call a new minister, which I think speaks to his integrity. Robin was ordained in South Africa and moved to Canada in the early 2000s. He and his wife Linda are excited to move back to the coast to be closer to family. And Robin will be working as a 0.8 minister. So not quite full time. He has lots of energy and enthusiasm to lead St. Stephen's. He comes highly recommended from both the search committee and the board at Trinity United. Trinity live streams their services, so if you would like to have a look at what he's like and get a little introduction to Reverend Jacobson, check out Trinity United in Vernon through their website, and you should be able to access one of their recorded live stream messages there. And I encourage you to do so.
As we prepare to leave today, hear these words of blessing. In a fearful world, may you look for God's Spirit. May you reach for each other's hands. May you choose courage whenever you can. And in all good things, may you remember that the good news is louder than fear. In the name of the one who calls, the one who sends, the one who journeys with, go in peace and be not afraid. You are called, you are loved, you are enough. Amen.